You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, November 4th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, RadioAlbion.com, kicking off the work week. First Monday after the horrible, after the time change. We do this time change here in the U.S. You know, we do this twice a year. You know, we jump the clocks forward an hour. We jump the clocks back an hour. I always like to refer to it as that special time when the government likes to pretend that it is omnipotent and controls time itself. I think it's part of that training, you know, they keep people trained. Just go along with whatever. It was funny, I was talking recently. I was complaining about the time change thing. Recently, I was talking to somebody, you know, an older person, a retired person, and they were complaining about, you know, having to get up. And now that, you know, they're all messed up because they might wind up getting up ridiculously early and going to bed ridiculously early and having to adjust all of their schedule because time change. And I pointed out, it's like, well, it's not as though you got to go to work. I mean, you could just get up like you do. You could just ignore it. I mean, you change your clocks so you know, like, what time. You know, somebody says be here at 2 o'clock, but as far as your daily routine, there's no need to really adjust anything. Who cares what the clock says? They've trained us. They got everybody trained. You got to do. And if the government controls the hands, the government makes the decree and you must all move the hands on your clock, and thus they control time itself. Of course, it's all just silly, stupid. But alas, it's like everything else, it seems, in clown world. Well, I'm doing something a little different today. I haven't done anything from the Daily Mail in like forever. And one of those reasons is because, well, for starters, the articles are always kind of needlessly wordy. Second, the grammar and sentence structure in Daily Mail articles is horrible. I mean, it's so bad. Like, back in the fourth grade, my English teacher would have failed somebody submitting a paper that had all these red marks about a sentence diagram and how that's incorrect. But yet, here we go. But we're doing something different. I'm not just going through an article. I just picked out some random Daily Mail, and I'll just read a few headlines, maybe a few lines. I'm not going through whole articles. Just random things that pop up in the Daily Mail. We may make Daily Mail Monday a new thing. Something. Well, because it's always hard. It's always hard for me to find something to do for Mondays because I do the Daily Nationalist on Fridays. And then we roll around on Monday, which has been 2 days. Ain't nothing new, usually nothing new to talk about that's happened over the weekend, unless you would like for me to sit here and discuss sports ball scores with you. I'm not going to do that because I don't care about any of that. But I got the idea this morning. And I thought maybe I'll just do a Daily Mail Monday. I'm going to whip up the Daily Mail, go through and pick some random articles on random subjects. Have some fun with that. We're going to try it. I don't know. If it sucks, we won't do it again. But it could potentially be a fun thing to go through. So we're gonna try that out today. Of course, tomorrow is the big day. The big election day. Finally. Of course, it won't be over tomorrow. It's not as though it's like it was years ago where we're going to wake up on Wednesday and know who the president is. Who knows how long they'll drag it. I'm so ready. I'm so ready for it to be over. I'm getting these spam calls. I've been getting, of course, I live here in Texas. I've been getting spam robo calls. Hi,
This is Amanda with the Ted Cruz campaign. We're reaching out. Did you know this is the most important election ever?
Spam calls. It's bad enough having the Indian spammers calling me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day, telling me that I qualify for $77,000. I don't know why it's 77. I don't know why that's the magic number. But do you didn't know I qualify for up to $77,000 in a loan with payments as low as $400 a month? All I need to do, and of course, every call shows a different phone number from a different state, but it's the same exact robo message. And all I have to do is call back at this number that's completely different from all of the other spoofed numbers that they're calling me from, and no doubt give them all of my private banking information, my personal financial information, to get my magical $77,000 for only $400 a month. What a deal. It got so bad here a while back, I told people, I'm convinced they must be running like some sort of bonus program in India. You get the extra, whoever scams the most people, you're going to get an extra, an extra rupee. Going to get an extra rupee or two or something. I don't know. But that's annoying enough. Boy, they would be disappointed if they got my person. Hey, we got this month's personal. We got his personal banking information. Let's drain his. Oh, let's put some money in his account. He needs a little help. That'd teach him. Very disappointing. That's bad enough. Then you get the robo. Now I'm getting robocalls because of this stupid campaign. Ted Cruz's primary thing he's running on for re-election is protecting women's sports from transgenders. It's very, very important. Let's see here. First, roll the dial here. First Daily Mail article today with a headline. Veteran strategist reveals major factor all pollsters are missing as he predicts secret wave on the eve of one of the closest presidential elections in history. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are locked in what polls indicate is a razor-thin margin, including in the 7 crucial swing states that could decide the election. And some are predicting the presidential race could unravel as one of the closest in U.S. history. As if you need, I say, I'm not going through this whole article. I'm just picking snippets. If you needed any more proof that all this crap is fake and gay, by the way, is this. These polls. They create these, and this isn't the first time. I remember being a kid. I was like a kid back in the day. Like when Reagan, I don't remember if it was when he first ran or the second time he ran. But they did the same thing. You know, they said, oh, polls indicate, you know, it's dead heat. And then, like, there was less fakery back then or whatever. And, like, the election happened. Again, with paper ballots, people manually counting them, and Wednesday morning, we knew who won. And like Reagan had won like every state but one or something. A landslide. So it's not a new thing, these fake polls. But of course, if you point out that the polls are fake, you'll get accused of disinformation, misinformation, possibly even being a threat to our democracy. The fact that they expect us to believe that this woman who in the Democratic primary could not pull, she couldn't pull 1%. She was first drop out. She somehow raised her thin margin with Trump. You know, and some people, and they eat this up. They eat this up. I always tell people, because we have listeners all over the world, we're global here at Radio Albion. Worldwide reach. And I point out, people, if you're not in America, you need to understand, Americans view everything through the prism of sports ball games. What team do you root for? And when they're locked in, that is all that matters. It doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't. You can see if there's a news story about some random thing, it has nothing to do with politics. You know, random news story. I don't know. Local man caught crapping in his neighbor's yard. comments, all the social media comments, or whatever, will be centered around, sounds like a Kamala voter. Oh, no, with that area, you know, he's one of those Trump tards. Oh, no, you know, he is a Democrat. No, you know, everything. Everything is what sports team do they belong? We've got to know who to cheer for. It's the most stupid system in the world, and now it's so corrupt and obviously fake, and yet it doesn't matter. I remember back in the day with professional wrestling, they used to guard the fact that it was scripted. They did. I mean, like if you went up to professional wrestlers and said something about all that's fake and whatever, they'd like beat you up and stuff. That happened to Geraldo Rivera. He deserved it, by the way. But they guarded that fact. Anybody that came around and implied that professional wrestling was not 100% up and up, unscripted, you didn't know who was going to win the match before it started. They wanted you to go along. And then one day they gave up on that, and they were just like, yeah, it's fake and scripted. It was basically about the time Vince McMahon rose to prominence in running professional wrestling. They threw that out the window, and they were like, we don't care if you know it's scripted. Because it's sports entertainment. That's when they changed it. He called it sports entertainment. You see, this is electoral entertainment. This is political entertainment. Now, the people back in the day that didn't want to admit that professional wrestling is scripted, they were afraid that people wouldn't support it anymore. The only reason they supported it is that they believed that, you know, the outcome was undetermined. So you were really cheering for whoever was going to win. Vince McMahon came along and said, it doesn't matter. They're going to cheer anyway. And he was right. He was right. Vince McMahon could be put in charge of our democracy values of who we are, because you can apply the same thing to this voting nonsense. See, before, they didn't need to know. You know, they were afraid if people knew it wasn't scripted, they wouldn't cheer it on. See? Now it's obviously scripted. They're sitting there giving us stories like this, where it's a razor thin. They're neck and neck. A woman who couldn't pull 1% her own base. She's right there, neck and neck. And it doesn't matter. Americans eat this shit up. It does. It's like professional wrestling. Now it's obvious that it's scripted. I wish they would do professional wrestling. I do. I wish they had the debate. Like when they have the debate and Kamala's out there and she comes out there and they're like, Donald Trump, now former president Donald J. Trump, and he doesn't come out. And she's looking around and she's like, wait, where is he at? I can't do a Kamala imitation. I'm sorry. And then all of a sudden he bursts out from behind the curtain with a folding steel chair and just lays her out. Smack. Oh, my gosh. And he starts swearing. I might watch it. Just for the entertainment factor. People, it doesn't matter that all of this is obviously scripted. It's like wrestling. It doesn't matter. They're cheering for their favorite team anyway. This is all, and like I said, it's so funny to watch people who are ate up with this, like it matters. And they will sit there, regardless of the story, and debate each other on, oh, that person probably supports this candidate. If they're crapping in their neighbor's yard, it has nothing to do with who they're voting for. But they have to make it about that. Then that's the political, this democracy thing in America. It's what passes for our democracy values of who we are. Speaking of the elections, here's another Daily Mail article. And this gets into something else I guess I get it. But it's still, I don't get it. And this article says, Will Ferrell stars in campaign video threatening white males who refuse to vote for Harris to keep Trump out of office. And before I get into a little snippet, this is a funny thing too, because the whole election is, for that, you know, the whole message is, you got to vote for Harris, not because of what anything she's going to do. You just don't want the evil orange man in there. Because this is very, very serious. Actor and comedian Will Ferrell has been recruited by the Harris campaign in a last-ditch effort to convince voters to head out to the polls on Tuesday to vote for her in a short 30-second clip, Farrell attempts to use scare tactics as he states how, during the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden only managed to keep Donald Trump out of office by just a few thousand votes. In the latest attempt by Kamala Harris to use A-list celebrities to help with her run for office, which has seen some of the biggest names in entertainment come out to support her, both online and at rallies, including Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and Bruce Springsteen. See, again, it's political entertainment. It's not real voting. It's not real election. It's not real democracy. As you know, this is what we have, this democracy system, values of who we are, whatever the hell marketing they have for it. I'm not a big fan, in case you may be new around these parts. But if you had actual, like, democracy, it would still suck, but it would be better than this. But what we have now is political entertainment. Voting entertainment is not real elections. It's World Wrestling Federation. It's World Wrestling Entertainment. You see, they changed it. It's sports entertainment. It's voting entertainment. Part of this, as a sign of this, is this whole thing of getting these actors, singers, ticket takers in the entertainment world to come out and say you need to vote. If you needed any more proof of how stupid and silly this system is, it's the idea that somebody who gets paid to pretend to be other people on a camera or to sing through a computer box, their opinion on who you should vote for really matters. Imagine that we live under a system where supposedly this voting, the people have enough sense to cast votes to determine who should be allegedly running the country. And yet, they lack agency, their agency, their ability to discern these things can be swayed by, oh my gosh, my favorite singer says, I should vote for this candidate. Like, what the hell makes Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Will Ferrell, any of these other people, what makes their opinions relevant? I mean, who the hell cares? If whether you like their acting, their singing, or whatever is relevant, because it has nothing to do. And yet here we are. This is somehow relevant. You're going to swing your vote because Beyonce says so. One more funny snippet from this article is that last week, Farrell teamed up with comedian Billy Eichner as part of a final push for votes for the Harris campaign, with the videos pulling in more than 100 million views so far. Eichner and Farrell took to the streets of New York. That's a boy, there's a tough crowd. New York. Wonder what the people are going to support. Eichner and Farrell took to the streets of New York as, quote, loud white men for Kamala, wearing matching t-shirts. White men. Early life might argue otherwise. White men for Kamala. Yes. It's just a campaign of silliness. It's so absurd now that I if you believe in this stuff, do you believe any of this crap is real? You know, I don't know. You know, what do you tell people? You know, what do you tell people that are hanging on to some idea? Then again, maybe they're not. It's just like I said. It's just like WWE. They don't care that it's scripted. They just want to cheer for their favorite player. They just want to cheer for their favorite wrestler. They just want to cheer for their favorite sports ball team. They just want to cheer for their favorite politician. You know, it seems like people are becoming more and more unable to discern reality from fantasy. You notice that? Like people, you'll see people and they get so addicted to social media and it's like they imagine themselves as some sort of celebrity. And sometimes, and of course, this is encouraged by the system. You'll see one of these crappy Daily Mail articles and it'll be about so-and-so that I have no idea who it is. Of course, most of these actors, singers and whatever, I don't have any idea who they are either. But, you know, they'll do one of these stories about somebody I've never heard of and it'll explain to me, because I if you read the story, it's like, why should I know who this person is? Who the hell is this person? And it'll be such and such, who is an Instagram celebrity. And it's like, I don't even know what that is. Are you serious? I don't know. What the hell is an Instagram celebrity exactly? I guess it's, I don't know. You know, what do they do? And you read through there. And it's like, oh, this person, she posts videos on her Instagram with 5 million followers about, you know, makeup tutorials or some shit. It's like, that makes you an Instagram celebrity. People are becoming detached, though, from, they can't tell reality, you know, from fantasy. More and more you see this, and they really want to believe, you know, they really want to believe that somehow what they're doing affects the outcome, you know, affects where the country's going. We had 4 years of Donald Trump in office. And aside from perhaps not getting into some wars, there was that. But aside from that, there was no actual real material difference. Then we've had 4 years of Biden, and now it's been obvious that the conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, were correct all along, and he has no idea where he is, and yet nothing, you know, nothing has materially changed. Nobody notices that this guy is mentally incapacitated. It just keeps rolling along. Yes, the economy is much worse than it was under Donald Trump, but that's just a symptom of, you know, things continuing to roll downhill. It doesn't matter who gets put in there. The next 4 years, the economy is going to continue to get worse because the usury-based economic scheme is inevitably imploding on itself. It has to. It requires ever-expanding debt, and they're tapped out. The people are tapped out. They can't do any more there. This is just going to continue to go downhill. You know, but they do. They want to hold on to this fantasy that somehow they're making a difference. I saw somebody out the other day. I was driving through town. I saw somebody out there diligently putting up big campaign posters on the side of the road for whatever candidates. And I mean, aside from maybe local elections, but still, even there, has anybody ever like decided who they were going to vote for because they saw a big poster on the side of the road? Like, they're driving along going, I'm driving down here to the polling place. I'm going to vote for my favorite, for whatever candidate, but I have no idea who the hell I'm going to vote for. What name should I pick? And then you stop at the stoplight and you look to the shoulder of the road and there's a big sign. Joe Blow's name on it. Well, shit, I guess I'll just vote for Joe Blow. I saw it on a sign. Doesn't matter. They want to believe. They want to believe that what they're doing really matters. We've got a final story. It has nothing to do with politics. Thank goodness. Eerie final Facebook post of Minnesota missionary murdered by his wife in Angola. The Minnesota pastor who was allegedly murdered by his wife in Africa shared a haunting post on Facebook just 24 hours before he died. Bo Schroyer, 44, appeared in good spirits as he wrote about making a connection with an Angolan student en route to his ministry project on October 24th. The next day, Schroyer, former lead pastor for Lakes Area Vineyard Church in Detroit Lakes, was killed in an act of violence in Angola, and his wife has been arrested, according to his U.S. colleague. A former colleague of the slain missionary man, Pastor Troy Easton, last week revealed that Schroyer's wife, Jackie, had been arrested in connection with his death. This is unimaginable and yet it is very real, Easton wrote in an updated letter to congregants on Friday. As a community, we must cry out to the Lord for his grace, mercy, and comforting presence for the Schroyer children and family, Easton wrote. We must honor God and love each other by how we communicate about this. And we must continue to stand together asking God to do in and through all of this what only he can. Now, in case you don't know what any of that means, as many of you listen to my Parish of the Patriots program, you know, I'm a bit of a man of God myself. So you might come to me and you say, hey, GPD, can you decipher what this means? And I can tell you it means nothing. What the hell? We must cry out to the Lord. We got to honor God and love each other in how we communicate about this. And asking God to do in and through all of this, what only he can. What's God have to do with any of this? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. This is just stuff. They throw this gobbledygook out there, and it's supposed to sound very compassionate, very caring. Schroyer had previously worked as a police officer, joining the Detroit Lakes Police Department in 2013 before becoming a real estate agent, according to the Detroit Lakes Tribune. He eventually changed careers again to become a pastor, and in 2021, he and his wife, Jackie, became missionaries and became one of the first families to move to Angola after pandemic lockdowns eased. You see, for a lot of these people, at the end of the day, this tells you a lot. It's just a job. It's just a job. It's just an adventure. Somebody will pay your way. And you and your wife go on an African adventure. You go on an African adventure. A motive for his death. Excuse me, I started to get choked up there. A motive for his death has not yet been revealed. It's a mystery. And the charges against Jackie remain unclear. No idea what the motives are. The charges are unclear, but apparently she did it. I never understand these people. Well, obviously, for starters, rewind this. You got these people, and there's a lot of them. And you have to understand, they become a preacher and all this stuff. It's just a job. It's not a, you know, and I hate to speak to other people's motivations because, you know, you don't know what's in somebody else's mind or whatever. But you look at, you know, he was a cop and then he was a real estate agent. You almost see this pattern of looking for a job that's not real work. And then you become a preacher and then a missionary, probably because he couldn't land an actual cushy preacher job somewhere. But that having been said, and again, that's speculation on my part. I want to be fair. I never understood these people, these Christian people who think their job is to go to Africa and do this crap. Have you driven around this shithole of a country that we live in? Like, if you want to go out, if you want to go out and do ministry to people who are living on the street, I mean, you don't got to go far. I mean, we have homeless people everywhere. If you want to go and tend to the downtrodden, and you think that's your Christian duty to go out here and do this, you don't have to leave anywhere. I never understood this. I mean, even way back. I remember back 70s, they were doing this. And I would be in church as a kid. And they're talking about, oh, this missionary family that we're sponsoring. They're over. They always go to Africa. You know, like the Africans are just dying for these altruistic white people to show up and guide them on what to do. I don't know that the Africans are actually begging for people to come over here. Please tell us about Jesus and dig us a new water well. But they do. I never understood. I remember being a little kid, probably 7, 8 years old, and hearing about this missionary family and they going to Africa and they doing this. And I remember being a little kid and going, why would they do that? I'm a little kid. I don't know nothing. And I even have enough sense to go, that doesn't even make any sense. Why are they going to Africa? They're going to get their heads cut off, wind up chopped up, throwing somebody's stew pot. And here I am all these years later, 50 years later, and I still don't understand it. Why would you think that it is incumbent upon you to go to Africa? The Africans aren't begging you to come, but you're going to come anyway. And then to top it all off, they take their whole family. Now I can I can kind of speculate as to why the wife might be open to an African adventure. I'll just leave it at that. We're not vulgar and crude here at Radio Albion. But why in the hell would you take your kids? Why would you do that? You know, your kids have no choice in the matter. They got to go where you take them. Can you imagine, as a parent, though some of you are parents, can you imagine if, as a parent, waking up one day and A, having the idea that it's a great idea. I want to go to Angola or some other place in Africa. And not only am I going to go to some place in Africa, you know what? I'm going to pack up my kids and take them too because they need a good dose of Jesus in Africa too. What makes you think that? I think it's an IRL acting. You know, you have people who do virtue signaling on social media, and it doesn't matter if anything makes any sense. They just want to virtue signal about what good people they are. I think this is taking it a step further. This is IRL virtue signaling. And this kind of also ties into what we were talking about earlier about people being unable to differentiate fantasy from reality. They had this fantasy, they're going to go to Africa and they're going to be the great white hope and show these poor, backward black African people. They're going to show them the light of Jesus and how smart they are. And then they're going to come back and everybody's going to praise him for being such good people. And yet, you go on your African adventure and you take your kids. Like, this is a good idea. Okay, this guy took his family. And now he's dead. The wife's in jail for his murder. And again, we don't know. They're kind of vague on that. We don't know if she actually did it or maybe one of the Africans did it and the authorities are just blaming her because why not? I mean, it's anything's possible here. They're being very vague. There's very few details. This is what happens when you go to Angola or some other backward place in Africa. You don't know. He could have been killed by some Angolan and they just said, well, it's the wife did it. Or the wife could have been enjoying her African adventure a little too much and actually did murder him or took part in his murder. We don't know. But the fact remains, this guy's dead. His wife's in jail for the murder. So where the hell are his kids? I mean, where is his kids? What the hell are they supposed to do? You've got these kids from teenage age on down, and now they're stuck in Angola because this dumbass thought it was a great idea to go virtue signal by being a missionary in Africa. Nowhere in the story does it say what's happened to his kids. Because this dumbass drug them over there. Where are they at? Like I say, he's got five kids from teenage age down to very young, four girls and a boy. They didn't ask for an African adventure. This was this guy's idea. Where are they at? What's happening now to them? Now they're stuck here. All because he wanted to do some IRL virtue signaling about what a good person he is. I don't know. Hey, on the bright side, he was probably a Kamala voter. There you go. Anyway, we'll wrap up on that note. I don't know what the hell's wrong with people. I every day comes and goes, and every day I still don't know what. I do kind of have an idea what's wrong with people. But anyway, y'all know. It's sad. I hope his kids, I say all joking aside, I hope, all kidding aside about this murder story, I do hope his kids, I hope somebody has enough sense. I hope the church that's sponsored his dumbass going over there, I hope they have enough sense to send somebody over there to get his kids out because they didn't ask to go. They didn't have a say in it. Get him out. Got to get out of Africa. We'll wrap up on that note. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday. This Orthodox Nationalist Show. You never want to miss that. Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday for his daily Nationalist Show. Always a treat. And as always, I have every intention. Sometimes things don't work out, but I have every intention to be back here to wrap up your week on Friday with the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.